there's a tugboat down by the river, don't you know, where a cement bag just drooping on down. Oh, that cement is just, it's there for the way there.
Yeah, 5 will get you 10. Old Mackey's back in town, i.e. the CIA. And Abby Martin going over just like Alison Weir went over to Palestine to see what was really going on over there. And meanwhile, back at the ranch, the dumbed-down public doesn't have a clue. And if you ask them a question, they've got a glassy-eyed stare, Mike. What do you think of that? Mike in Kentucky, is he still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Nature called. I'm sorry. I ran real quick and took care of that.
All right. Yeah, that was a short break. It's only 2 minutes. So, you know, if you got a,
yeah,
you got,
I know,
a large,
so
wet,
I had to run, and it's a good thing I don't have prostate problems. I'll just say that. But no, Barbara Spector was what I was leading up to with some of the stuff there before the top of the hour. I think everybody needs to watch that, and there's a couple of videos of some imams talking about how they want, you know, Europe is not making children, so they're going to use the womb as a weapon and try to, you know, make Europe and America, the Northern Hemisphere, into some Islamic
kingdom. And what does that remind you of? I mean, we saw that in Braveheart, you know, the king saying, well, if we can't, you know, we're going to breed them out. And that's what they're trying to do. You know, they're trying to breed them out. And I think there was something that was said along, you know, we're going to impregnate 6 or 12 women or whatever. Well, what about, does the woman have anything to do with this? Evidently not, because they're raping them, you know, and Angela Merkel's letting them get away with it, which the Germans are finally standing up and going, I don't think this is a good idea. The Aryan race going, you know, we're ultimately,
well, she
in
comes
50 years
in
not
under
going to
the,
be here
what,
anymore.
What is the name of the party she's part of? Christian something, socialists or something?
Well, I have no idea. I don't even know. You know, I've heard rumor that she's actually Hitler's daughter. I don't know. So I have no idea. I've never gone down.
Philosophically, she might be Hitler's daughter. I don't know, but talk about the reality of the situation over there. They're censoring Facebook and social media. They've got a special division just to censor the internet in Germany so that people don't talk about this 1400-year habit that the Islam has of using the womb as a weapon. But look who's facilitating it. And, you know, they're using us as their bulldog to go over there and hit these hives of bees with baseball bats and drive all these refugees into Europe. And then guess who's waiting on the shores of Lisbon and Greece to give them maps and tell them where to go to get the social services? The Israelis. They're sitting, and there's video of it, you know, of them actually giving aid to these people as they float in on rafts. You know, there's that outrageous photo last year of this child laying on the beach, you know, dead from drowning. And the world was outraged on it. But who's facilitating that?
And let me interject. Let me interject here. You know, it's interesting. Yes, they're giving aid to these people coming in and just flooding through Europe, okay, and the United States, okay. But on the other side of the coin, you take the Mavi Marmara, a ship that was coming over to deliver food and medicine and supplies to Palestine,
yep.
And Israel blockades it, gets, you know, invades the ship, kills 10 people on the ship.
Yeah, they okay. want to facilitate refugees for everybody else, but you can't. There's no refugees allowed in Israel. In fact, they're driving out Jewish Africans. They're trying to get, you know, it's really an apartheid state beyond anything Jimmy Carter, I think, ever talked about. You know, he got in hot water for, you know, revealing the worst kept secret in the world was that Israel has nukes. You have to wonder if they've got our deep state people scared crapless because they've got some nukes strategically placed in this country and or, you know, one good placed, well-placed nuke on a Canary Island or somewhere on one of these unstable islands off the south side of Africa, we'd have a tsunami in American England that would run inshore 60, 80 miles, you know, 40-foot-tall tsunami just from dropping part of an island off the, you know, in the Azores or off the coast of Africa. It would create a tsunami all around the Atlantic that would, the devastation would destroy the world.
I'll tell you this. Okay, Israel has got the United States by the gonads, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, it was a joint effort on 9/11 with Israel, Saudi Arabia, and the United States. So that secret can never get out. Plus, they have touted the Samson option, where they have no problem just unleashing it all and ending the world. So yes, they've got the deep state right under their thumb. I think there are ways that you could get around that. I think there are ways that you could corral them. Story for another day, another show. But at any rate, the bottom line is that the people that we have in office right now are cowards. They are cowards. They will not stand up. They are intimidated and demeaned by the Israeli lobby. We know that. And nobody really has the gonads to stand up to them. And the one that did, or a few of them that did, Jim Traficant, comes to mind. He mysteriously died in a tractor accident on his own farm. Really? Come on. Give me a break. Anyway, I got to run, Mike. Okay, I got to get back to the show here. But thank you so much. I appreciate your input, man. It's always good to talk to you. Okay? Folks, phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. I wanted to get into the domestic side of this. I'm going to play a clip here shortly that is up on the RBN website, by the way. And it's a brilliant argument regarding the sanctuary cities. But before I do that, I want to also mention, I was perusing around before I mistakenly talked to John this morning, I was perusing around on the website, and I ran across this video that a private citizen took on a subway or a train of this 18-year-old girl. I'm not sure whether she was Japanese or Hispanic, or she was foreign nationality, and she was doing nothing but sitting on the train with one foot up on the seat. Well, evidently, that's a big no-no on this train. You can't smoke. You can't put your foot up on the seat. You can't do this. You can't do that. And I guess, I don't know, maybe they've got a whole list of things you can't do besides maybe breathe on the train. And so she was sitting there. I think she was reading a book. Can't really tell. But a police officer comes up to her and tells her to put her foot down. And she said, no, I'm comfortable. And so he argues with her for a while. He drags her off the train. And for 10 minutes, he slaps handcuffs on her. Then evidently somehow or another, he unhandcuffed her. And then there was another girl, I guess, of the same nationality who stood up for her. The next thing you know, now here's these two girls. One of them's 18, probably the other one's 25, 26 years old. I don't know. But the next thing you know, within 5 minutes, there's about a dozen cops there. And my first question is, you need a dozen cops to, corral two ladies, number one. Number two, two ladies at number two didn't do anything wrong. She put her feet up on the seat, for crying out, one foot on the seat. And the other lady just stood up to her. Now, there's some pretty vulgar language in there, and rightly so, by the way, because they were just railing on this cop. And one of the comments that made by the girl that stood up for her was, what are you trying to do, meet your quota? I mean, do you not have anything better to do? Which is true. What, they put police on these trains to ride and make sure that they, somebody doesn't commit an infraction on the train of the list of infractions that evidently is posted somewhere. I don't know, because a cop told her that. And so they arrest these two girls and drag them off to jail. What in the world has happened to this country? Now, with that, I'm going to have Dan play a clip here in just a second. This is about they're in California. They're taking arguments regarding sanctuary cities, and this girl puts it very, very eloquently, and it's all part and parcel to what we see going on. As we mentioned before, when Mike was talking, is that the rest of the world is being overrun by these people that are infiltrating, immigrating into their countries, i.e. Germany, the EU, Europe, Britain, everywhere, and over here as well. Okay, people that have been bombed by us at one point or another, a lot of them have, that we've killed thousands of their family members, respectively speaking, and then we invite them in here? They can't really have a good idea of our society to begin with, when they have been the recipient of all of this mayhem, but yet they're coming through Europe, okay? And they're coming through into the United States. So with that, let's do this. Mike, let's go ahead and play that clip that I gave you. This is a lady that is sitting in giving her argument as far as sanctuary cities and what is happening there. Go ahead, Mike, play that clip. All right, sorry, Mike, Dan. I apologize for that. Dan, play that clip. Hello, Dan. Okay. Dan, are you with me? Yeah, I'm asking you to play that clip.
In opposition.
My name is Lupe Ostolia Morfin Moreno. My father was a Mexican, bracero. My mother was a Tejana, or is a Tejana. And I'm here representing my sister, Angie Morfin, whose son was murdered a block away from my mother's home 25 years ago. I don't think he was the first victim, but we're the first families to speak out in the state of California. And I also am representing the angel mothers whose children have been slaughtered and murdered in our communities, especially cities like Salinas, California, and Santa Ana, California. Salinas, an unofficial sanctuary city. Santa Ana just became an official sanctuary city. Article 4 of Section 4 of the United States shall guarantee to every state in the nation a republic form and shall protect each against evasion and domestic violence. Our beautiful children have been sacrificed at the altar of elected officials and nonprofits, as we could see how many nonprofits are making money off of our dead children. Section 8 says that we will not help illegal aliens in any way or form or encourage them to be in our cities, to be in our neighborhoods, to kill our children. We want you to stop this now. Now. I have it on good authority. Our side wins. Even with all that you have, our side wins. Because you have weeping mothers. Weeping mothers, not only in California, but throughout the United States now. It's not here. It's everywhere now. Stop trying to blur the difference between illegal and legal. There's a big difference. We're Americans. We live the American culture, and we have the American spirit. We don't steal, we don't lie, and we don't take other people's things. This man that was up here crying because he was locked up or something. These mothers, these families, their children are gone forever. They're buried throughout California and the United States. Ruben was 13 years old. He was just starting. And a man grabbed him and blew out his brains. Stephen Woods was at the beach. How many of you have gone to the beach with a girl and walked the beach? And he was surrounded, and he had a paint roller plunged through his brain. 17 years old. Jameel Shaw, a dream of playing football. And he doesn't play. His dad, I'm sorry, but I have wept with these families. I have wept with these families. Drew Rosenberg, San Francisco, murdered by an illegal alien, ran over him on his bike three times. But guess what? His dad was a liberal. And guess what? Now he's fighting all this mess that you guys have gotten us to. Eric Cepeda, hit by an illegal alien that was here illegally, driving illegally, and working illegally. Dominique Duran, his mother went to the Republican National Committee convention. David Marsh, he was shot, a deputy sheriff in Los Angeles. He was shot, and then the illegal alien came out and shot him again while he was laying there. Christina Pena was 14 years old when some guy grabbed her and strangled her and threw her into a field, raining. That's how where they found her body. I am a victim of illegal immigration. I was molested as a child, as I know you were, Richard. I know you were molested. How dare you side with the other side? How dare you? I was pregnant by 14. I had 5 children by the time I was 22. By an illegal alien. And I married him. So my city is a sanctuary city. I live in fear, horror, terror. I don't leave my house very often. I go to work, and I am a county government worker. 34 years. I know what social services we do. I know the cost of helping illegal aliens, foreign, unlawful foreigners. We want it stopped, or the mothers and the fathers, the families. We are going to plaster our children's pictures all over the state, and we're going to let them know what government elected officials have let the slaughter of our children happen in California and all these cities. It's a disgrace, a total disgrace. I ask you to vote no on 54.
Thank you. Next witness in opposition, please.
All right, Dan. Thanks a lot for that clip. You know, and this girl is so right on, because what is happening in California? We just had a power surge here at the network. Am I still broadcasting? We had a power surge at the network. Oh, okay. I didn't read it all. It flashed on the screen real quick, and then it went down. But anyway, here's this girl speaking out against this sanctuary city stuff, which, by the way, is going on all over California. Who's behind this? Who is Jerry Brown involved with to be able to allow this to happen? And all of these people that are across not only California but across the nation that are being killed by these illegal, felonious aliens that are being invited in here and being sheltered in here and given aid to, okay? Who is behind this? We know who's behind it, folks. But this stuff has got to stop, because on the one hand, domestically, as Mike, the caller that called in, they're letting these people loose in droves to immigrate into other countries to impregnate the women, to rape them if need be, okay, and then having them come in here and do the same thing. California is posing sanctuary cities. Chicago is posing sanctuary cities. I just ran across an article the other day, and this kind of hit a little bit of home with me. Matter of fact, this is part of what I was talking about with John this morning, is I'm an Uber driver. That's one of the hats that I wear when I'm not on the air. Now, I haven't done it a lot lately. It's because I've been getting sucked into this whole thing again and doing a lot of research on here, which I don't mind. You know, it's very fascinating, very interesting. But I ran across an article the other day where an illegal Mexican was arrested driving an Uber, okay? What he was doing, and by the way, he had a phony driver's license, which posed the question to me is, when I applied for subcontracting with Uber, I had to pass a background check, and it took all of one day. They approved me in one day, which I thought was kind of quick. Okay, that's, you know, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But this illegal Mexican that was driving an Uber vehicle, that was, well, it's his vehicle, was picking up young ladies at night, whether they be at a party or whether they be at a bar or whatever, late at night, you know, 12, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. And when you're driving an Uber, and I've had hundreds of rides with Uber, there are some really nice looking ladies that I've given rides to. I've had a lot of really great conversations. I've had some very interesting conversations with a number of people in Uber. Now, I've had some that weren't so interesting. I've picked up drunks, and it wasn't a fun ride. But getting back to this, this guy would pick him up, single him out, pick and choose, which you could do if you were one of these people, pick and choose who he wanted to take advantage of. And evidently these girls were like late teenagers to early 20s maybe. And he was arrested and indicted for three, where he would had robbed them and raped them. Okay, and so it posed the question, and I had this conversation with John this morning, as to how extensive a background check do they do? Now, as many of you out there know, I wear three hats. I am an Uber driver, I am a talk show host, and I also umpire baseball. Now, on the flip side of that coin, I hear the music coming up. I'll continue with this after the break, because I'm going to talk about the flip side of this coin here in a minute. Be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Now, getting back to what I was talking about, these background checks. I mean, I've had many background checks done on me. I had it done with Uber. I had it done with Acorn Stairlifts. I've had it done with the place in which I live. And typically it takes them a day or two to come back with this. Now, I question how extensive this background check is. And this is what John and I got into a discussion about earlier this morning, is that they approve me for driving for Uber in one day. How do they approve a guy that has an illegal driver's license, that is an illegal alien, when they do a background check? How extensive do these background checks go? Because on the flip side of that coin, as an umpire, I umpire for five different leagues, and they're all middle school baseball or softball. And I don't know which school system it was, but one or two of them had been pressing the place that I'm contracted with to have all of the umpires go through a background check to make sure that there wasn't a pervert on the field with middle school children. Now, as I mentioned to John, I that's kind of understandable. He brought up a good point that I'm going to mention to you in a minute. But first, I'm going to read this to you. I applied for this right around the end of October. And I have to admit, there was they botched my fingerprints the first time, So I had to go down and be reprinted again. But it took from about the end of October to the date on this letter, which is the 22nd of December 2017. So it's better than 2 months. It says, the Arizona Department of Public Safety has completed both a state and federal level criminal history records check and determined pursuant to AR 41-1758, you are eligible for a fingerprint clearance card, which is enclosed. So I've got my card. So it took these people 2 months. It took them one day. All right. Now, it's either the incompetence of the bureaucracy, which i.e. would be the state or the feds, or it is that they did an extensive background check on me and Uber didn't. Take your pick. Okay. But John brought up a good point, which I told him, well, all right, I'll see both sides of the coin. You know, and I'll put this out here to you. Is he brought up, he says, you know, when you got your first job, Michael, when you went and applied for your first job, which was with me, 16 years old, as a janitor in an elementary school, you know, you filled out your name, address, social security number, and all that stuff. What kind of a check did they do on you? And I said, well, they didn't do any. And he said, right, they didn't. Okay. Now, John pointed out that everything has been flipped around. Instead of being innocent until you're proven guilty, you are now guilty till proven innocent, and they do basically a complete, you know, colonoscopy on you to make sure that you indeed can take the job that you contracted for to begin with. So again, you're guilty till you're proven innocent. And I mentioned to John, I said, well, we've been enemies of the state since 1933. But the screws are tightening. The vice, as you will, is closing. And it seems that you really can't do anything anymore without having some bureaucrat look up your hind end. Now, the whole time we're having this conversation, ironically, John is in another bureaucratic office getting his license plate renewed for his Mazda 6 or Mazda 3 or whatever that little goofy car is he drives. And he says, oh, it's the best car I ever drove, blah, blah, blah. Story for another day. I'm not going to get into that. But my point is that these background checks, you know, here's a international company, Uber, that is allowing people to drive or drive other people around. And John's contention is that, you know, you're guilty till proven innocent. My contention is I think that if you're going to drive people around, you should have at least some level of background checks. But if you take the example of this Hispanic guy over in California that raped three women and robbed them with a driver, do you let that happen before you check these people out or not? Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. I'd like to get your thoughts on it. Because I'm sitting on the fence here going, yep, John's right on the one hand. But on the other hand, look at what's happening across this country right now. Look at what is happening domestically with us, the rights that are being taken away from us, the guilty before or guilty unless proven innocent. And then what's happening with the rest of the world with our Mac the Knife CIA invoking the agenda on innocent countries and the rest of the planet. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of.
Yeah, does that make me crazy, folks? Does that make you crazy? Are we all crazy here with seeing what we see? You know, I was thinking about this during the break, and I said, what's the solution? It's kind of a balancing act. On the one hand, you know, a mild background check or a major background check. And then I thought about it over the break, and I thought, wait a minute. You know, that wasn't the way it was 50 years ago. All right, why is it this way now? Well, here's the solution to the problem. This guy was an illegal with a forged or phony driver's license. You know what the solution is? Don't let them in anyway. That's the solution, okay? We didn't have this problem until all this started happening. And who's behind it? The Zionist agenda. We know that Israel wants them all, you know, all over Europe. They're giving them aid, as Mike said when he called in. They're giving them aid to come into these foreign countries and to, you know, kind of make the offspring of the white into a mix of gray or brown. Who's behind it? Well, they created an apartheid state, which anything that is non Jew is a second-class citizen. So as I was looking during the break, I'm getting a number of emails from a listener, and I apologize. I don't know who you are. I know you called into the show once. I don't remember your name. But I was just doinking around, during the, and I pulled this article up. It says, "The Secrets of Israel's Assassination Operations." And I went, that's interesting. Let me take a look at this. So get this, folks. I mean, here's the people that we're dealing with. Here's the tail wagging the dog here. And here's their, their vision, if you will. Back to the title. The Secrets of Israel's Assassination Operations. Poison toothpaste that takes a month to end its target's life. Armed drones. Exploding cell phones. Spare tires with remote control bombs. Assassinating enemy scientists and discovering the secret lovers of Islamic holy men. A new book chronicles these techniques and asserts that Israel has carried out at least 2,700 assassination operations in its 70 years of existence. While many failed, they add up to far more than any other Western country. This is all contained in this book. Ronan Bergman, the intelligence correspondent for Yedioh Aharon newspaper, persuaded many agents of the Mossad, of Shin Bet, and of the military to tell their stories, some using their real names. The result is the first comprehensive look at Israel's use of state-sponsored killings. Now, based on 1,000 interviews and thousands of documents and running more than 600 pages, Rise and Kill, name of the book, first makes the case that Israel has used assassination in the place of war because they're cowards. They want us to do their dirty work for them. Killing half a dozen Iranian nuclear scientists, one of which I played a bit of an interview with you when I had that clip that I ran with Ken O'Keefe last week. For instance, they did this rather than launching a military attack. It also strongly suggests that Israel used radiation poisoning to kill Yasser Arafat, the longtime Palestinian leader, an act its officials have consistently denied. Bergman writes that Yasser Arafat's death in 2004 fits a pattern and had advocates, but he steps back from flatly asserting what happened, saying that Israeli military censorship prevents him from revealing what or if he knows. Now, the book's title, Rise and Kill First, comes from the ancient Jewish Talmud admonition. If someone comes to kill you, rise up and kill him first. Bergman says a huge percentage of the people he interviewed cited that passage as justification for their work. So does an opinion by the military's lawyer declaring such operation to be legitimate acts of war? And despite the many interviews, including with former prime ministers Ehud Barak and Ehud Olmert, a couple of criminals in themselves, Bergman, the author of several books, says the Israeli Secret Services sought to interfere with his book, holding a meeting in 2010 on how to disrupt his research and warning former Mossad employees not to speak to him. That's interesting, but it's not out of the realm of their protocols. He says that while the U.S. has tighter constraints on its agents than does Israel, President George W. Bush adopted many Israeli techniques after the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001, and President Barack Obama launched several hundred targeted killings. And, you know, and when you're keeping this in mind, let us think for a moment what's happening here in the police state and the fact that our police departments across the country are sending a number of their police officers to Israel for enhanced training. Whoa, that's scary. The command and control systems, the war rooms
the methods of information gathering and the technology of the pilotless aircraft, or drones, if you will, that now serve the Americans and their allies were all in a large part developed by Israel, Bergman wrote. And the book gives a textured history of the personalities and the tactics of the various secret services. Back in the 1970s, a new head of operations for Mossad opened hundreds of commercial companies overseas with the idea that they might be useful one day. For example, Mossad created a Middle Eastern shipping business that years later came in handy in providing cover for a team in the waters off of Yemen. You know, it rings a bell, light bulb goes off with urban moving systems and the dancing Israelis. There have been plenty of failures. After a Palestinian armed group killed Israeli athletes at the 1972 Munich Olympics, Israel sent agents to kill the perpetrators and shot more than one misidentified men. There were also successful operations that did more harm than good to Israel's policy goal. Bergman raises moral and legal concerns provoked by state-sponsored killing, including the existence of separate legal systems for secret agents and for the rest of Israel. But he presents the operations, for the most part, as achieving their aims. And while many credit the barrier Israel built along and inside the West Bank with stopping assaults on Israeli citizens in the early 2000s, he argues that what made the difference was a massive number of targeted killings of enemy operatives. One of Bergman's most important sources was Meir Dagan, a recent head of Mossad for 8 years, who died back in early, just a couple of years ago. And toward the end of his career, Dagan fell out with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Beetlebogen, partly over launching a military attack on Iran. Netanyahu and Beetlebogen said intelligence techniques, such as selling the country's faulty parts for its reactors, which Israel and the United States were doing, weren't enough. So Dagan argued that these techniques, especially assassinations, would do a job, or do the job. And as Bergman quotes him saying, and I quote, "In a car, there are 25,000 parts on average. Imagine if 100 of them are missing. It would be very hard to make it go. On the other hand, sometimes it's most effective to kill the driver, and that's that." You know, you look at this, and you look at what's going on in the world, both internationally and domestically, and you look at what the root cause of this is. And I can take many, many, many examples, USS Liberty, the Mavi Marmara, the 9/11, and so forth. And you have to place it right at the door of Israel. And Talmudic law, and what these people really think, which goes back to what I had reported on last week, the Rosenthal interview. Which, by the way, I want to stop right there and say I've gotten a number of emails from people that are having problems accessing the archives, and I brought that to John's attention today. He assures me that my archives are back up. And, you know, folks, I do things a little bit different than a lot of talk show hosts on the network. I do a lot of extensive research on things, and as you know, I report on things that I feel, even though they're in the past, they still significantly affect us today. And that's why I do it, because this is nothing new. This has been going on for years. Internationally, it's been going on for over 100 years with Iran. When the propaganda and the problem, the biggest problem that we have with Americans at large, is they don't read. Now, they work 9 to 5 or whatever they do. They come home, pop a beer or a pop, and they slap their hind end on a couch, and they watch TV, and they listen to the Kool-Aid. They listen to the propaganda on these mainstream networks. So I really can't fault them, because truth of the matter is there's not enough hours in the day for working people to actually bite into this mess and get a good handle on what's going on. Henceforth the pundits, henceforth the talk show hosts that do the research to bring it to you and them. And it's a joint effort. It's not just me out here and Mike Rivero and John Stadtmiller and all these other great hosts that are bringing this information. It's up to you to bring these people that are spoon-fed Kool-Aid on a daily basis to wake them up. It's the only way we're going to win, folks. And when you see the oppression, both domestically now because of so-called,
we have to take some of your rights away. What was his name? Was it Mueller that said that? That says, well, maybe we have to take rights away from you because the terrorists are out to get you.
The terrorists were manufactured. The entire war on terror is a lie. You know that, and I know that. Okay? But the public at large doesn't know that. And they need to find out. You know, let's take an alternative world. Let's take a world where, you know, the Americans, 300 plus million of us, knew that it was a joint operation, 9/11, between the United States, Israel, and Saudi Arabia. How fast do you think all of those people would be dragged out of office and hung and tarred and feathered and killed? It's there, and I have to give them credit. It is a very, very, very successful propaganda campaign ongoing with complicity of the media, who is owned and controlled by these same people. Who was it that did a report? I can't remember, but Jim Fetzer attested this when I had him on my show yesterday. There's over 300 CIA agents and operatives that are in and around the media. People that are writing the articles, as fake as they are, CIA that is, and the Israeli lobby that is editing anything, it's filtered, I think, about six times before it even gets out to be disseminated to the public at large, the public, the public drinking the Kool-Aid, if you will. So again, you know, it's up to us to get the word out. Mike Rivera, at the end of every show, take everything you learned today, take everything that you've heard, share it with your neighbor, share it with you. I totally agree with him. This is what has to be done. Because at some point in time, as I mentioned earlier in the show, at some point in time, the rest of the world is going to stand up and say, that's enough. And by the way, speaking of that's enough, what is the job of the UN? What is the position of the UN regarding Palestine? What is the position of the UN regarding Syria? These people in the UN have to know what's going on. The United States government is the aggressor. They're the aggressor for an agenda, and they are the dog that the tail is wagging. So somebody at some point in time is going to have to stand up and put a stop to these psychopaths, or this entire planet is going to be a parking lot. And what's really scary about this is these narcissistic maniacs that are in the halls of our government actually have talked more times than not about winning a nuclear war. Folks, I have to remind you, you want to have a really bad day? Have a nuclear weapon go off in your parking lot. Not a good thing. Yet these people actually believe that they can win a nuclear war. Now, I'm going to who's this to you? Why would any rational human being even talk like that? And I think I know why. When I talked about Walmart the other day, and I talked about Jade Helm, and I talked about those drills that they call the beast, it is not out of the realm of possibility that these people indeed have underground tunnels. We know that, okay? They have underground tunnels that span throughout this country along with to last them infinitum. So do you think it's possible that these people know that they have a respite, a sanctuary, if you will, and wipe the rest of us out? Now I'm going to give you another example. And they showed us this on mainstream TV, if you will, Desert Storm, when we were watching them bombing Baghdad, the invasion of Iraq, back in 2000, we were watching them again. They were making no secret about bombing these people. And they were doing it with depleted uranium. Now, we didn't know that at the time. We just saw these major bombs going off. And at the time, the vast majority of the American people were saying, yeah, take them out, take them out. 9/11, yeah, rah, rah, we're for you. When we find out later that they basically poisoned the entire country. Even the women in Iraq have been, it's been suggested to them to not even be impregnated because of the overwhelming amount of offspring that comes out of the womb that is so deformed they look like aliens. Folks, we caused that. We did this. We destroyed that country on a lie. And depleted uranium has a shelf life, or a half life, of 4.5 billion years. Our own soldiers coming back, impregnating their wives, and having deformed babies coming out because of depleted uranium that has invaded their body. And by the way, when a depleted uranium shell, depleted uranium is uranium waste, nuclear waste. They had to figure out a way to get rid of it, so they made it into weapons, and they bombed the Iraqis. Final segment coming up, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Just my thoughts on a Friday, folks. Stick with me. Final segment coming up.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Yeah, you can stand me up at the gates of hell, and I'm not going to back down, folks, I'll tell you. And Michael Rivero's not going to back down. John Stadtmiller's not going to back down. And, you know, I'm going to leave you with this thought today. Michael Rivero has a song, a bumper song in his show that talks about the Palestinians. And I don't remember exactly how it goes now, but I want to touch on this as I did earlier in the show. This is disgusting. Approximately 35% of Palestinians are Christians. So the question is, why are Western Christians paying Zionists to kill them? And I'm going to tell you why. The 501c3 churches in this nation, with the likes of Chuck Hagel, Hagee, and others across this nation, have continued to feed the Kool-Aid to their congregations, the Judeo-Christians, that we must support Israel 100% because they're God's chosen people. I put you out with this question, folks. As Ken O'Keefe would say, what country would Jesus bomb? The next time, if any of you out there are going to church, ask your pastor or stand up when he's talking about supporting Israel, if this is indeed the type of church you go to, and ask them specifically, what country would Jesus bomb? And the other part of it is the mainstream media that keeps touting this and allowing the dumbed-down Americans to drink this Kool-Aid. Think about this. If the Christians, and I mean the real Christians, not the faux Christians, not the one that I'm Christian on Sunday, but after that I'll do whatever I want to do. How many people actually know that 7 out of 20 people in Palestine are Christians? Very few. Because I'll tell you what, even if I were a dumbed-down American and a Christian, and I were listening to this, and I got wind that my brothers, my Christian brothers and sisters, were being murdered at the hands of these Zionist monsters, I would stand up. I would stand up in a church. I would stand up in a public building. I would stand up anywhere, just as I do here today, just as Michael Rivero does, just as John Stadtmiller does. And again, let me remind you, folks, we're trying to get the truth out there. We can make a different world. Ken O'Keefe is trying to make a different world. His philosophy about we're all brothers and sisters on this planet of human beings. We all deserve to live in peace. We all deserve to live our life from cradle to grave without this interference from these monsters. And when you realize that there's countries around this planet, i.e. Iran, who has never preemptively attacked anybody in 250 years, whose moral principle is against having nuclear weapons, can't blame them for not having them for protection against these monsters. Okay, but when we have these people, these countries, these nations just trying to live in peace, that Mack the Knife, i.e. the CIA, is instigating and fomenting this stuff for this Zionist agenda to make this place into so-called democracy, we have to ask ourselves, who's the real enemy here? Who is the real enemy here? These countries want nothing more than peace. And I've given you examples in the last couple of days of the CIA infiltration and the agitation in Iran, in Syria. They did it in Libya. They did it in Iraq. They do it all over the world. This is an international body of criminals that have an agenda to destabilize and balkanize the Middle East for the gain of Israel. So the next time one goes to church and they listen to the pastor, like, hey, stand up and say, you got to support Israel, get in his face. We're out of time. I'll see you same time, same station tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Stay out of trouble. Have a good weekend. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could. Cause I'm mad as hell. Can't bring myself to do what it is you think I should. Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.